Father, we open this book again. But Lord, we thank Thee that there is a settlement. We can be grounded and settled in the things of God, not tossed to and fro with the things in this world, doctrine and other things, Lord, that Satan uses so much to confound and confuse. And we pray tonight You'd give us wisdom. And dear Father, as we look at the other side of what is said about why they don't believe in You, we might be able somehow or another to know a few things and rehearse some things in our heart and mind, and have more patience and prayer with these people in turn, who would call us everything in the book. But we want to just do our best to try to see that they give us the time, if we have the opportunity, to know we understand what some of the things they say, and yet if they'll listen and understand the things we say. Lord, I believe this book is more powerful than anything else that man's ever written. I believe the Holy Spirit's behind this. I believe the Holy Spirit is the one who takes the word, even after we're gone, and calls it, and out of that person's vicinity, gets that person to see where they're at and what they want to do, whether they respond to it or not. God will do His work. For He said, "My word will not return unto me void." And we believe that. Now, have your way in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's go back and look at chapter 14. We looked at to start with. And here's what God says, verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, I didn't say that. The fool said it. Now, if I would say to someone, "Listen, you're a fool if you don't believe there's a God," they'd say, "Well, you don't call me that." And would you know I'd be saying what God said? Did you see that in verse 1? What does it say? "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." See, it starts here first. "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So then he goes on and he said, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Isn't it amazing? We have people say, "Well, I don't think, some people are not as bad as others," and they try to categorize the good ones may be better off to get to heaven than the real bad ones. I understand the bad ones, but God said He looked from heaven, He didn't see anyone doing good. Now, who are we going to believe? Someone who says, you know, it's a group that thank God there are some people you can live with and not save, or maybe good neighbors once in a while compared to bad neighbors. I met a lot of good people who didn't know they were saved. On the other hand, and sometimes you might be right. You get a Christian out of the will of God and live beside them. They'd be maybe the worst neighbor you ever had. Because a miserable place is to be no God and be out of His will. Amen? So here he's talking about he looked down from heaven. He said, "They are all going to say, they are all together becoming filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And he said, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge?" All those people who are living in sin and wickedness and iniquity, don't have no knowledge? He goes on, he said, "Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord?" That's amazing, because we're gullible when it comes to standing with the Word of God. You see, sometimes we don't realize how powerful that Word is. But on the other hand, when we use that Word, it seems like we're defeated. I guarantee you, somebody in the world's unsaved. You listen to some of the things going on in the national news now and talking about what people believe about Christianity and the Bible they use for that and religion, which is most people look at any kind of religion is all right, because God has such a love for people that as long as they have some kind of religion and pray towards a God. God says He's a jealous God, folks. Amen. And the fact that He's a jealous God means He's not going to have someone praying to a God they don't know. They're going to have to pray to the true God if they pray. And look, we're in chapter 36 and read 4 verses, and then we'll move on into the lesson. He said, in verse 36, he said, "The transgressor of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." Now notice, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then he goes a little more, and he says, "The transgressor of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." In other words, one says there is no God, and God says the fool. And there's another who said, "I believe there's a God, but I don't believe he's a God of wrath. I don't believe he's these things." And what they do, they actually say that they have no fear of God whatsoever, because they think God is some type of person they can control, or at last minute so loving that whatever they've done, they don't have to worry about, that first of all, they don't believe there's a hell. They don't believe there's a lake of fire. They don't believe the wrath of God. They believe He's so loving. And by the way, most time people that get to that point that believe that feel like that what little bit of good they do would be enough for God to let them into heaven. We know that's not true, though. But that's believed more in this age we're living in right now than has ever been in man's history, I believe. Because we're intellect to believe something, and we know more, and we have more facts probably given to us today about who the real God is, and yet seem like most of the people that's on the face of the earth are not trusting him. Then notice what he said, for he flattereth himself. This person who says fear of God, he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. And then the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He had left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed and setting himself in a way that is not good. He abhors not evil. Now, this is what God tells us about people like that. But when we look at the word atheism, and we just deal with that only, I said last week, saying there is no God is no big thing because it don't change anything. It is in the sense when a person says it and know that they're going to be duped and damned for it, but it's no big thing and changes it. It don't change one thing about who God is to say he doesn't exist, because he's still going to be here when they're gone, and they'll stand before him one day in the future. So when you consider the implication of what they believe, and then you consider creation by design where things change. Now, evolution says things change because it comes from a lower form to a higher form. But with God, it changes in difference. It changes not only is there a physical world, but there's a spiritual world. Thank God I came into a physical world one way, but I've been changed in a spiritual sense to be born into the family of God, which I believe, folks, has altered my course in the physical life. There's no telling what I'd been doing and how I'd been living had I got saved. By the way, so is you. Only by the grace of God. There's no telling where we'd be at now. So what happened? We came into this wicked world, and we had the nature of Adam. We did the things of the nature of Adam. And then he realized it seemed to be the norm of life till one day somebody came along with the gospel of Christ. We heard that message. God dealt with our heart. We received Christ as our Savior. And there's a big change that took place. Now, sometimes the change is seen bigger in some people than others. I mean, you take a person living in sin, and the whole community knows it, and you know they've been in and out of maybe out of jail, whatever it may have been, and they get saved, there's going to be a big change in that. But I was a person sitting on a church pew, just as weak as anybody else as far as my heart, but doing everything I thought needed to be done to merge something as far as before God, and just as lost as could be for 3 years. So I know the difference between sin. When God says all of sin comes short of the glory of God, there's some people will tell you, they don't think. I know one that's running for government right now, for president right now, said he would ask God to forgive him when he thought he did anything wrong. I won't call his name. I would, but I'm not in the political scene tonight, amen. But what I'm saying to you, that just because somebody says they don't sin, because they don't think they did anything wrong, don't mean they don't do something wrong. I tell you this, a man will go to hell if he don't trust Christ as Savior. I don't care if he thinks he's living a perfect life. Right. Christ is the only way he can make it possible to get to heaven. Amen. You don't hear that today. And it sometimes gets you in trouble when you say that. But what I'm saying, what atheists teach about the meaning of life makes less sense than what God teaches, if you just read it. Because God gives us a purpose. What atheists say and what evolution says, if it came about, there's no purpose in anything. Even though they think by us being where we're at, we have purpose. But we wouldn't be here if they want a purpose. And we have to look at those things like that. I mean, simply, most prominent atheists will generally reject the God of idea of God existing. And since there is no God, they must have an alternative explanation of how the world got here. And when they look for things, they come up with the explanation for most is evolution and the big thing, Big Bang. And that sounds good to, it's hard for me to understand how someone be intellectual as they are and as smart as they are would think that what we see here could happen that way. I mean, if I didn't have the Bible, I'd have a hard time believing that. There'd have to be some force behind it other than just what they say there's there at that time. Now, they explain that the miracle of life and the existence of the universe is as natural and explainable in scientific process that happens in the absence of God. They suggest that all occur without a deity or without a God, guiding the process that's going on. And it's completely self-sustaining, they say, and it's natural by force in itself. But wait a minute. The very moment they say it's natural by force, there's the power behind it. Now, who's creating the power? You can't say that. Now, that's the reason I went last week and talked about that professor in, and Chapel Hill was talking about this thing, and he had a big ball on the side, and it lit up, and it looked like one of those things out of space. And he was talking about it as he traced things back and showed, and he had nowhere else to go but to those forests. Then he went from there, talking about a scientific name that you get to. There's nothing. But that force was energy, and that energy is where we all came from. Well, by the way, if there is such a thing as that, they believe that we came from, as far as a force, somebody had to bring that force into existence. I mean, if you're going to believe it, just don't believe anything, just we happen. That's one thing. But don't come to add in someone. See, that's how false gods come into existence. They can't believe the true and living God, so they begin to create something in turn that satisfies their physical atmosphere in life and their mental asset to things, and they keep believing that to the point it governs them all the time, just about. And so they explain this as a miracle of life, just as existing. They suggest that this all occurred without a deity. God got in the process. And they say it's completely self-sustained and natural by force in itself. Now, where do they start at? Well, most of the time, things atheists often claim about evolution. In fact, an atheist doesn't even really believe in evolution, as those who may be biologists and scientists sometimes, because they realize that there's things about that don't make much sense. They'd rather believe it just happened. But by the way, even if you believe in evolution, it had to just happen. I mean, it started somewhere or another, so it had to just happen if they don't believe in God. And so they're saying evolution has no goal, no purpose, no meaning. Therefore, they don't really accept that, but they rather accept that over than God himself. And this is what they repeatedly say during debates in their books and their speeches and the things that they use trying to explain why they do not believe in God himself. And so the first thing I want you to let's look at and think about, why do they say this? Why is it they come up with this idea to say this? They generally say this because they reject any notion of God. If it's an atheist, a person who's a truly atheist don't believe in God in any form or fashion. Someone said, well, I believe in God as far as starting stuff, but from there on, I'm an atheist. You can't be an atheist and do that. You can't be an atheist. You either don't believe there's a God, and that makes you an atheist by definition. There can no other things. They can't even be religion put to it, because if there's a religion, something had to start that. And it had to be, most people think divine. There was a divine identity who did that, starts a religion like that. And so if an atheist was to say that force might be a God in evolution, that is not atheism at all. It's more like, you might say, theistic evolution or deism, which does not accept a force or God laying the foundation, which does accept the force or God, if they call force laying the foundation for life. In other words, someone started it, and that force would be called God. It may not be Jehovah God, but be called God because it had the power to do what they say brought to pass in this time. So for the atheist to truly be an atheist, they must reject any notion that a conscious force causes evolution to happen. And they must reject also a force guiding the universe. And they must reject that a conscious force did anything at all. Because anything that a full rejection of these that I just read, like a guiding universe or like evolution to happen or a conscious force, anything other than a full rejection of these changes them from an atheist to something else, like a deist or a theist. And a deist is simply is a type of God that creates but has no authority over its creation. You have people who are called deists. Oh, yeah, I believe in a God, but once he creates it, he has no authority over it. A theist, on the other side, is so that God, who is a creator, and he rules by authority. So that would be out completely. And even though they say, well, I believe there was something that started it, but therefore after that I'm an atheist, then they're deists. They can't be atheists. That's what deists believe. And so they could not be that as what they're trying to use as a reason. Or if it's not a deist or theist, it's got to be a force. It could be either one of those. Except the force, when the theist talks about God, he's really talking about a real God who created things, and he's authority over that creation, and he has purpose for that creation, and he's working out a plan and purpose. On the other hand, though, a force could be anything. So, number one, we understand why they say this. Now, The second thing I want to look at, what does it mean that evolution has no goals or purpose or meaning? Because most people will tell you who don't believe in evolution that it has no goal. And sometimes there are those who believe in evolution has no goal. They say it just happened. It just took place. It has no meaning whatsoever. They're saying that evolution never had a goal to create humans or other creatures. Humans just happened by chance, a mutation in natural selection, atoms, proteins, molecules, and here we are who we are today. Isn't it amazing? Hey, let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. If this could happen by chance, boy, God must be greater than we think he is, isn't he? Because look what he did. If this happened by chance, God could do much more than what we're seeing here. By the way, he has. The spiritual world is alive and well, too. The angels that are in heaven are that way, too. And so I want to be honest with this, but I save time on realize the Word of God just tears this. There's no way that this can be accepted when the Word of God's in your heart like God wants it to be. Evolution is not a conscious thing that has a goal to become something super involved. In fact, it has no goal or consciousness. It isn't even trying to do anything. It's not trying to become anything. It's nothing more than like a blob that fell in the glass somewhere, has no meaning whatsoever. It's like a grain of sand on the shore, and that's all it is. And when you think about what they're saying, it really don't make sense. God makes much more sense than that. I mean, it's trying not to do anything. Nothing started evolution. It's just happened, they say, allegedly, by completely unconscious and natural occurring scientific process and no living matter at all. It has nothing, has no meaning, evolution doesn't, has no purpose, it has no goals. Now, there's some people say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. We have that. But wait a minute, you got to keep in mind, we're talking about where we started from. If it just happened, there's nothing that shows us they had any purpose at all. We could have been anything other than what we are if it just happened. I mean, if this is something that just came along and took place just out of the sky, or out of the life itself, or didn't have life, just life came into existence, a vacuum, then there's no telling what we would be. I tell you this, if a man's got any sense at all, if he even talks about where man came from evolution, from amoeba up and come through and where we are now, there's a lot of changes from there to where we are. There's some purpose behind that. Amen? There's some line of thinking behind that. That's reason evolution can't be true. I'm glad God Almighty shows us I didn't come from a slime, amoeba, nothing else. I came from the hand of God through procreation, through Thoreau Innes and Corrine Innes, who fell in love and had a boy. I told my mother years ago before she died, I don't understand why God led me, but I read in the Bible somewhere and it said the first one that opened the womb, God required it. Now, that was Old Testament, but I like that. I don't know if that's my case or not, but I like that. Because there was a requirement in the Old Testament when the first child opened the womb to some certain people that God claimed them for himself. And so I've just unraveling some things in my mind. Now, this is exactly, when you talk about no meaning, no purpose, no goals, this is exactly what a biologist or scientist or an atheist will likely tell you about the nature of evolution. Then when I see that, number three, what are the implications of this belief system then? Here comes the news. If the universe simply exists and it's unconscious and natural scientific forces, then life has no meaning whatsoever. If it just started existing, there's no reason for it. And think in our mind, we have no purpose. If life's just happened, we have no purpose. I'm taking the basis of it right this moment. If we're nothing more than involved goo, then it don't matter 1 second that we have anything at all to do. If this is all we are, we're like a glass of water that has no purpose or meaning. It's just sitting there. It can't move its own, can't do a thing. It has no purpose whatsoever unless you get thirsty, and then you got to have a mind behind it and know you're thirsty. Amen? I don't care if you're a dog or whatever it is. If something triggers, you're thirsty. And they look for water. And then that water becomes available. But there's no meaningful water at all, just in a glass. Maybe I've been this too much. Is my mind warped? No, I think my mind's right. Amen. We have no purpose. If evolution or atheism is correct, and we in fact mean nothing more than a rock or grain of sand. And I believe that. That may exist, but it has no meaning whatsoever as far as existing until a mind gets behind it. I mean, let me tell you something. Who would know if you go into a mountainside somewhere and see something gold that it was gold and important unless a mind was behind it? I tell you what, gold didn't become precious just because it's gold. Somebody had to say, hey, we need that. We need to use that. We need to use that some way or another. So if evolution didn't have a goal, we have no goal as existence a product of that evolution. If the universe simply exists and it has an unconscious and natural scientific force, then life has no meaning. And when we look at that, if we have nothing more than Navab Goo, we don't matter for 1 second. We have no purpose. If evolution again has a goal, we have no goal. If evolution has a purpose, if evolution didn't have a goal, we have no goal. If evolution didn't have a purpose, we didn't have a purpose, and we don't have a purpose. If evolution doesn't have meaning, then life is meaningless. And it can't have meaning because there's no mind behind evolution. It just happened. Are you with me? Is it mixing up? I'm hoping. Well, you see, this is the problem. When we hear these people talking, it mixes us up because it really don't make sense. If we don't have the Word of God here in our heart, though, it might say, but you know, it might be right. And that's a satanic thought. That's what Satan does to our mind when we don't look at things sometimes and compare with the Scriptures. So if God does not exist then, if no God exists, life is pointless and meaningless, and atheists are pointless and meaningless. Now, they got their ways of going. Now, when you point out that they're meaningless and pointless, they get very offended by this. If evolution has no goals, an evolved creature has no ultimate goal, if evolution has no meaning, life has no meaning, if evolution has no purpose in the universe, then life has no purpose. But they will deny this by coming back and arguing against it because they say, yes, we can have purpose just because we exist. Now, that's the next thing I got into. Oh, yes, we can. Hey, we didn't have someone to start us, but we started now where we developed where we're at. Well, what caused us to develop where we're at? How in the world can we become thinking beings like we are and now plan everything when we started out and didn't plan nothing? It makes more sense to know that I'm in an image of God because God is a God who existed beforehand. And though I can't understand His pre-existent condition forever, I can believe that because of where I'm at. And the bearing of His witness to my heart. But at the same time, it makes me, you know, now understand when He created man in His image, He put man over this little planet Earth, give him the ability to have think like God, and give him the ability to have purpose and a meaningful life. Even gave him a helpmate to make that even better life. And then create. Isn't it amazing? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, my mind just runs wild sometimes. I study at home and I get saying, Do you know that God Almighty, if He wanted to, He could have made as many human beings as He did angels by speaking it? Multiple billions of angels He created by calling them forth, by just speaking. He could have done it the same way. My way, He did that and gave them the ability to think, ability to converse, even ability to rebel against God if they wanted to. The only difference there, once those they did, they never had no hope. And yet when He made us, look how we came. Isn't it amazing that God took a man, thought him by himself to start with, and in God's mind, He relayed to Adam, He saw that he was somewhat lonely. And can't you imagine that? Ladies and gentlemen, I sometimes like to put myself back where he would. Don't you like to put yourself in the scripture sometimes? When God's telling something, look to be there and just say, Lord, let me observe this. I want to see exactly what you were doing at this time. He created all the others, and then he created man. I know how he did that. Blew into him the breath of life. And he conversed with him. And when he'd come down, he'd see Adam. First of all, he put him before all the animals. Here they come, male and female. Everything had a male and female.
That's right.
And he came and he named them. I don't know how long it took. He had plenty of time. And he named them. And somehow or another, God knows everything, but he tells us things about the way things are happening so we can get a little understanding that when we go through things in this life and he seems not to be there, he's always there. And Adam, I don't know if God was standing by him when God told him these animals were going to come and he started naming them by name and put a name to every one of them. So that just can't be. Yes, it can be too. And then God said, I'm paraphrasing. God don't have to say for me to understand. I know that. God said, Adam looks a little down. He looks like a little bit missing something. And he got looking. Maybe Adam was looking at animals, male and female. Could he ever say, what if my God didn't make me a female? Whatever happened there that time, God came to him and told Adam, put him to sleep. Took a rib and made him a female. And boy, did he love her. He didn't have no choice. No one went around, but he loved her. Amen. They want one of them. But what I'm saying, looking at that scene there now, see, there's a mind behind it. Amen? There's a mind behind it. A mind that knew what was going to happen and yet worked out a process for 6,000 years. Man goes back, looks at things. Now, when you think about if evolution has no goals and so forth, and an evolved creature has no ultimate goals, if evolution has no meaning, like life has no meaning, it has no purpose in the universe, then life has no purpose. Now, here's the arguments they make, though. They argue this. They argue by the atheist declares that life has meaning or purpose with no God. Because now they say, wait a minute, I have meaning, I have purpose now. I get up in the morning, go to work. I have purpose. I want this. I see. I have purpose to get this. I have purpose to buy that. I have purpose to go to school. I get education. I have purpose. Why'd I go to school if I don't have a purpose? They're leaving out an element, though. That don't mean to think about where you came from. You ought to realize the fact you have God. You'll be searching something other than the fact that I just came from a big bang back there years ago out of something that came out of nothing. And what they say is this, though, and I won't get into this much, but what they say is this. They argue, well, I can make my own meaning in life. I can create my own purpose in life. I don't need a God to have a purpose. That's their argument. This is common answer from atheists after showing their belief system makes them pointless. This excuse is nothing more than a cop-out to make themselves feel better. Sure, everyone nowadays can set a goal. We're conscious beings. We can plan and purpose and do things. But we know we can do it because we were made that way. And we know there's an IQ. There is a situation in life that which in turn can make us do things different. We know there's skills that God gives. We know there's things that we can train ourselves to do. Some things we can train we don't do as good. But all of those is purpose that God has made us towards something, to have goals in life. And so when you think about this, anyone can set goals as we, like I said, as a conscious being, but goals mean nothing at all unless there's something behind that, purpose behind that. Goals is a purpose. Don't you think God had a goal when he started out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he started out. If he hadn't had a goal, he'd have stopped when Adam messed up. Lord, he stopped it when he destroyed in Genesis chapter 6. The whole world said Noah's family. Isn't it amazing? He had a goal. He looked ahead and saw what he wanted to do. Why? He wanted people like us one day to be with him forever. Boy, I love that better. Hey, if we came from a big bang, we ain't got nowhere to go.
That's right.
Except die. There's no reason to live like that. I mean, if God ain't give us a reason to purpose something in our life, why don't we just live like most people live? Don't worry about a thing. Don't work. Don't do anything. Just try to survive and die, and that's it. Aren't you glad to know that God's put something in our heart that's more to life than just that?
Amen.
I'm so grateful that we have a lot of information we can get hold of these days. If we're going to die anyway, and in the scheme of the entire universe, your life and mine will be nothing, according to atheism, but it's not according to God. God has told us there's a purpose. We see his purpose, and then he gives us a purpose. What is that purpose? To glorify him.
Amen.
To live for him. To do what he asks us to do as we look into the Word of God. We see this and know that God. Thinking that your life has meaning when you teach it doesn't is a delusion. When they say, well, yeah, I have meaning, but it's a delusion from what they are thinking, because to them it's just because I happen to exist. I think about if we'd happen to exist, we may be something different than human beings. By the way, let me ask you something. If it could happen back yonder, why can't it happen again right now? Just because we're here won't make something happen, come out of nothing, if it could happen. You know, if the Big Bang could happen one time, the Big Bang could happen again.
Right.
Might be something else involved. Aren't you glad God has given us the sensibility to know that man alive. As a matter of fact, it would look like that if there was a big bang somewhere or another, that we'd be somewhere on that, other than that little planet Earth, in the boondocks of the our galaxy in the Milky Way, and probably smaller than most planets in that whole universe. God had a purpose. He set that aside. And that's where he put man and the environment, everything around that. By the way, this makes me, if all this keeps running back. If God had let us happen, then how in the world did it happen? We just ended up here. How did this earth, we can't live nowhere else we know of in the universe right now except here on this earth, unless we're in the spirit with God. Right? I mean, you go just a few miles anyway off of this earth and you're gone, unless you have some kind of protection. That's all there is to it. And yet God did that. Why? There's a purpose there. There's a purpose there. And we see that purpose. Father, please help us finish this next week. And Lord, we want to get an idea how foolish and understand when God calls a man a fool, don't believe there's a God. And yet they think we're judging them. Lord, we're not judging them. And I believe there's more today than ever there have been. A person who says they don't believe in God, or they do believe in God, but they really don't believe it matters. An atheist about as they're atheists about as well off as they are, because God does matter. And it takes us. And I don't understand, Lord, why. You're much greater, but in your plan and purpose, you worked out a system that where your people, even Israel, will be used to tell the world that day about you, set up a system through the tabernacle and the temple that they could have a relationship with you, even though sin invaded the ranks of life, until Jesus should come. What a joy to live on this side of Calvary, Lord. And we look back and see how much you loved us. Father, it is not that we are looking at this to be able to be an expert about atheists. We're looking at it, Father, so we can at least converse with them when we talk to someone and try to give them the Word of God, knowing that the Word of God will overcome words that are not of God. And sometime or another, Lord, people won't listen unless they can talk first. Sometimes you listen. And then you can say, now you've told me, how about listen to what I want to present? And God can use that, because your word will be greater than anything they say. Help us as we grain these morsels of spiritual bread in our heart and life to see things different and be able to, who knows, someone here may walk into an atheist soon. And Lord, I believe that this world as it is now lives as if most people are atheists, because the God that they believe in is a made-up God. And if a person says, I believe in God, but makes them up and their God becomes what they want him to be, they're just as bad off as someone who says, I don't believe there's a God. I mean, if people believe in thousands of gods and only one is correct, then that means 999 of them are wrong. And so if you're wrong, you're wrong, whether you're atheist or an unbeliever. Help us to be strong in these last days. We live in more intellectualism than we ever had. Lord, we need to grow in grace and knowledge so we can talk on a level that makes sense to someone who talks and don't make sense. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.